T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you ready?
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
And there are some people out there, Gary Tangway, who want to throw this guy under the bus and say he quit on his team. I don't expect that to happen in Boston. I say bring him on.
Let me throw something at you. Just came up top of my head.
My entire life, 4 decades watching this league, nobody ever had a GOAT conversation until LeBron won his second title in Miami. We don't do this in baseball. We don't do it in hockey. Even with Tom Brady now. Many of you say, hey, it's kind of a system guy.
This is idiotic.
With Glenn, Lou, and Christian.
I'll play Fortnite the night before. I think this is funny.
Tell me what's funny.
If this is him having a sense of humor and trying to make light of it, I don't think he knows his audience.
But he's pitching well, so maybe that's why.
Let me just talk about his pitching. That's what you do well. You're not a funny guy. You're not a clown. You're not here to amuse me. It just adds, I got to talk about this for freaking 3 hours tomorrow now about your stupid comments. Oh. Just pitch.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, we'll play back some of the rant. It was a good Lou rant in the first hour. We'll play back some of that coming up in the next hour. We'll get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937 about Price and about Brady. Are we buying it anymore? I mean, when Price says it, Lou, I got to tell you, you get pissed. I kind of, he is what he is. I don't think it's Bostonian. I'm not.
It's exactly because no, you can't. No. Here's
it's
the
your
thing.
It's your idea.
No,
it's an outsider.
It isn't.
It's an outsider's
you,
view
you
of a
cannot
Bostonian.
You cannot critique yourself because you're too infected. That's the problem.
What do you mean I'm infected?
You're infected.
What does that mean?
You can't see like the forest through
about?
The trees. How about that? Oh, does that make sense?
What a good cliche.
Yeah, no, it is, and that's okay because all I know is it finally hit me. Sitting there listening to people locally being pissed off at David Price, and yeah, I know you had a lot of issues before that, so you were already on edge. I get that, right? Because I've dealt with the whole little league, you know.
We call those night. Pukes down at Duxbury.
Yeah, but it just dawned on me. It's like, yeah, there's so many similarities. Not just you, but other local Bostonians who sit there and have the same traits that you talk about and we talk about all the time.
Mm-mm.
So embrace him.
Nope.
He doesn't have to win anything. Just act like he won something.
I don't have to embrace him. I just want him to win.
He's
I want
winning.
Him to throw well tonight.
He's winning.
That's all. That's all I want.
So you actually can't. You actually can't. He can't get a pass. He can't merge over to the good side of the Bostonians until he actually wins a playoff game, right? That's basically
yes.
what we're looking at.
Yeah.
So the regular season really doesn't mean anything.
I don't know.
He can actually crap down his leg over and over again.
Said that
but
last
if he
year.
Gets one, yeah. and I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, that's really any athlete
Christian,
and a big
you
market.
You have to accomplish something.
I agree with you.
Like,
but
you don't
the point
drop
is
217
that he's
million
really,
on a talent.
You're eating
come
one of
here,
your own.
But I'm just
that's
saying.
What you're doing.
Like the guy. The
what's
guys,
that mean? What are we talking
listen,
about?
Listen.
Usually you accept your own and you protect them. Like Brady.
No, you accept
your them and you don't like degrade them.
That's Southern Cal mentality.
I don't rip him for taking the money.
Very inclusive. We don't want a wall.
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't rip him for taking the money. You shouldn't rip the Red Sox for paying the guy. I get it. I get why they signed him. I get why he took the money. There's no question about it. But with that, you have to accomplish something. You got to do something before you troll a fan base.
Wait, but
don't
here's
come
the, here's
here
the
and
thing.
Crap down your leg.
You can't
feel good about
David
yourself
Price
because of a seven-game run.
He's in that no-win situation now with him. And that's what it is. And he gets out
pitch
of that
well
situation.
And win.
He is.
And shut up.
But he listen, I'm not David Price. Stop screaming at me. And I don't run the Cal Ripken League, okay? So stop taking out your
Cal
aggression
doesn't
on
either.
Me.
Billy
oh, yeah. Yeah, yell at Cal's brother, Bill. Is that it, Bill?
Billy, yeah.
Fine. But that's it. So he's in this no-win situation. And listen, there's a lot of things that drive me crazy also, but that's doesn't matter at this point. That's it. He's in a no-win situation because if he says what you want him to say, then you're going to say, well, why isn't he more forthright? Or why doesn't he show more personality? If he gives you the passive-aggressive dig, because he's obviously harboring a lot of issues with what people have said about him. Because every time he gets an opportunity to say it, he brings it up.
But Christian, But Christian, here's the issue I have with him. The Fortnite stuff, I think most of us have said, is BS. Nobody's sitting there claiming that he got the carpal tunnel syndrome because he was playing Fortnite. We already know because our own guy Ryan did the research. He's back playing Fortnite, and he's playing it in the wee hours of the morning. And I don't mind because I don't think that was part of it. I think the whole mild carpal tunnel was what the Red Sox told him so that he could feel at ease that he's okay. You're healthy. Your elbow's not falling apart. Mm-hmm. Your shoulder's okay. They did it to make him feel that he can go back and pitch again. He's now the one that is coming back and sticking it to people when he's won six in a row and he's throwing it out saying, maybe I'll play Fortnite that night and not play in the All-Star game.
You're dramatizing it. You're dramatizing it.
Well, he's joking
joking.
But he's also sticking it to people. No?
Well, no, he's being passive-aggressive. This is one of his strengths.
Right.
But don't you agree that like it's tough to take his sense of humor?
That wasn't my point.
I would
though.
Say overall his experience so far has been a negative one.
Yes.
So now I'm supposed to laugh with him and be like, what a great sense of humor.
His
jokes aren't funny.
I agree with you almost everything. What stood out to me is that he has a lot of the same qualities that you have, that a lot of people locally have when it comes to their teams, their point of view, and the way the stubbornness. The only thing he hasn't done yet.
You're missing it.
No, I'm not missing it. The fact, again, you're infected. I can't even talk to you. Okay? You can't see straight. I mean, another cliche I can use.
You'll find one, I'm sure. You're good at that.
Cliches are cliches because they're true.
The difference is if he knew the town, understood
the
how
more
it worked,
you get away with.
Yeah, there you go.
Beautiful.
He would realize. You're winning right now.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to say a negative word about you. Don't say anything. Don't sit there and try to poke them with the Fortnite. Don't do anything. Nobody is going to say a bad word. Media, fans, they're not going to. And if you go on to win, continue to win, and then you win in the postseason, go call up John Lackey and ask Lackey what it's like when you finally win. All those people that were busting your balls that were all over you, calling you pukes, like some people
They're
going to love you.
He's obviously not going to do this because you know, he can't help himself.
Right.
But you know, he's a great 7-game run. He's been outstanding. So he's sort of like climbing this hill, you know, and every time he kind of gets up close, he falls back again because he opens his yap. He needs to just be quiet. That's all. Stop trolling media, fan base, whatever you want to call it. Throw the ball well in the regular season. Get to the postseason. Win a game. Win a round. Move on. Let us talk positive about you. It has been nothing but positive about his the way he throws in the mound. Keep it that way. He's been outstanding.
Christian,
I hope he's outstanding again tonight. But keep it that way for a while.
And we want him to win in the postseason because it means his team wins. They need him. But he's in a great position. He doesn't need to do this, and I'll tell you why. He's got an opt-out. So if he doesn't like it, he can pass on the $30 million, and guess what? I got to believe, Lou, team's going to pay him at least $20 million, maybe $22 million a year. He might not get $30 from another team, but he's going to get close to that. He has control of this situation. He has control of his life. He can sit there and dictate this stuff over all of the people that are pissing him off, but instead, he's letting everybody piss him off. And he's doing things like this. It just doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense to me.
And he's not a comedian. If he were a comedian, he could get away with it, and it was funny. I'd sit there and laugh about it.
He would be a terrible comedian.
He's
though.
Not a good comedian.
Terrible comedian.
You just imagine him
he's not fun.
He's like taking out all his personal issues on the audience. Like, he wouldn't be the angry comic.
I don't think there are a lot of comedians
on passive aggressive comic
on that team. Are there? I mean, they're really kind of serious. And
Joe Kelly's a comedian.
Joe Kelly.
Yeah.
Joe Kelly's the comedian. How funny was that eighth inning last night? Yeah.
No, that wasn't funny. But Brock
yeah,
Holt.
No.
Brock Holt's a comedian, I think. I think there's just some comedians. It's tough to be. I mean, listen, honestly, I know Alex is my guy, but good Lord, can you give Joe Kelly a clean inning? Wait till you can bring him in, bases loaded, one out, nobody out. I have no idea what the hell the Robbie Scott thing was in the
lefty,
eighth.
Lefty.
I hated that thing. So he's been down the minors all year long. You call him up. I know he's a lefty specialist.
That's what he was looking
at. But if he was that good, he would have been here earlier. Okay, so you bring him in a 2-2 game? On the road, you just called them up that day. Trust me, I know what it's like when you just get called up. Okay, I did it many, many times. But it's different for a position player. If they called me up and put me in a game, okay, it's no big deal. But when you're a reliever, it's almost like you. I almost think he should be down for that day.
Yeah, hitters
unless
are
you
different.
Need him in the 13th inning and say, listen, get your bearings, get back into a routine, let's go. You're back in the big leagues. It's day one. Unless we really need you and we're down on arms, but we had a day off the day before, you're not coming in this ball game. I know it's 9-1-2 and it's righty, lefty, lefty. So you're looking at the lefties for him, and I don't know what the bench situation was for Cleveland, for Minnesota. Maybe they had a lefty to come off the bench and he brought in Joe Kelly. Who cares? But the 2-2 game, the guy you just called up from AAA after a well-rested bullpen, you let him start that inning?
Can I say this?
I hated that.
It was sort of feral-like.
Yeah, I hated that.
Looking at the lefty and saying, I'm going lefty on lefty crown. This was Cora after the game.
Because we had a, you know, that was the perfect situation for him. Ninth hitter, then Joe, then Eddie. You know, that's what he's here for, to get lefties out. And we felt that their ninth hitter, you know, he wasn't going to do damage against him. And whatever, he got Eddie out, but at that point, I made up my mind that, you know, if they're going to score, it has to be against Joe in that spot.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
No, and then Kelly comes in with a tough situation, and he made it.
Okay, so like, so
well, Jackie Bradley Jr. made it worse too.
Oh, stop it!
And then he made it.
Stop piling on. Hold on. One thing at a time. We'll get to Jackie.
Great throws of the year.
We'll get to Jackie. Yeah, you always got to.
What was the score at that time, though?
Yeah, it was.
This is what drives me crazy. Like with this situation, it's like, I know it's what we do. We second guess everything, but under the circumstances, it's not like who's the one guy, the
Bobby Pointer.
There was an issue with that. Okay, not putting him in. Why didn't you put him in? You had him in spring training. It was a perfect situation. Cora says, you know what? Listen, I didn't want to put him in that spot.
I get that.
Okay, I understood.
It's a different scenario, but it's somewhat similar.
It is similar in my book, because you have another guy who's a veteran, older guy. Okay, he gets called back up. You put him in the perfect situation, the most advantageous situation, ninth hitter in the lineup. You would think that that's a situation he would feel comfortable in, even with the jitters being part of it. Okay, I'm going to put you in a situation where it gives you the best opportunity for success.
Here's the thing.
Right?
Okay, I understand.
So then why critique? It's not Cora's fault. He made the right decision.
I don't think he did, because that is his situation. To me, when you first call a kid up, hasn't been there all year, and I know he's been up there last year, but it's like you got to give him like just one little confidence inning. Whether you're up by six, five, you're down by five or six, you throw him out there, you get him back in, get him back on that mound, get his feet wet a little bit. You don't sit there, because the eighth inning in that situation calls for your lefty setup guy, right? Your lefty situational guy. He can't be it. He can't. I mean, he just called him up that day. He can't be your high leverage lefty situation just called up that day from AAA. Hopefully, eventually, that might be his role. But I don't think you can do it the day he comes up. His first appearance is a 2-2 game on the road. I don't think you do that right there and there.
That is part of his job description, though. He doesn't have the luxury.
It will
of
be
saying,
eventually.
He doesn't have the luxury of saying, I'm a young kid. Hey, leave me alone. No, he's not that guy. And I love the fact that Cora was like, listen, this is what he's here for. What are we going to do? I mean, he had two different options. They were going to be ahead. Joe Kelly was going to go in. They're behind. Scott was going to go in. Put him in a situation. That's what it's like. Veterans don't get that luxury. They don't have the convenience of using, hey, I'm rusty. No. This is what you're here for. Okay, now deliver. So I think the decision was correct. Okay, but at some point in time, the player needs to kind of own some of it. He needs to take responsibility for something.
Yeah, I just don't think he's a veteran. You know, this isn't a lefty specialist, been around the league long. He had 1 year in the big leagues. He's got 1 year in. And he wasn't good enough to start the year. The rookie Pointer beat him out. He's been down in AAA. Here we are in June. He's throwing the ball well down at Pawtucket. I just think you give him like a just get your feet wet type of appearance, build your confidence, and eventually, hopefully, he can turn into a lefty specialist for you. But I don't think he's a lefty specialist the day you call him up. I mean, you got other guys out there that are effective against lefties as well. And yesterday was a day off. It wasn't like you were down on arms. I just don't think it worked. I didn't like it from the very beginning. He gave up the hit, before he drilled, you know, what's his name, Maurer. I just was like, I don't understand this move.
Yeah, no, Mike. I'm not going to get worked up about a lefty on lefty, you know, situation in the eighth inning.
Lefty specialist all year long.
Right.
Like,
they haven't had that.
Why you got to go find one tonight in Minnesota? Like, exactly. You haven't had one all year.
Well, the thing is that we just had this long conversation yesterday about an eighth inning guy. Who is that guy? Looking at the stats, looking at the numbers, and sure enough, eighth inning came back to bite you because Scott couldn't hold it down. Then Joe Kelly, usually saves the day, ended up giving up one of the biggest hits in the game.
But Joe Kelly doesn't get a clean inning in the eighth inning. So he's not being used as your eighth inning guy. He's being used when you get into trouble in the eighth inning. And
he can do both.
Yeah, but what are the percentages that's going to work for you? Eventually it's going to break, and it broke last night. I won't get into Jackie Bradley Jr. because he is batting like 184 now. So it's
I've heard he's not even the problem.
No, what do you mean he's not the problem?
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's what I saw, actually.
Well,
who?
He's a problem. Jackie. He's a problem hitting wise. Defensively, I'm not going to rag on him because, you know, he misplayed that ball on the outfield. Because that how often does that happen with Jackie Bradley Jr.? I mean, that's very rare, and it might have hurt him in the game last night. Even though he made that great throw later on, it was just an unbelievable toss from where he was in deep center field. But the hitting part of the Jackie Bradley Jr., it's still an issue.
Like, you know, I said this on Twitter. Everyone's like, why do you keep defending Jackie? He's getting tired. It's not a defensive Jackie. It's just there's no other option.
Right.
There's no other option. And you could sit there and say, well, Benintendi goes to center. JD goes to left. So who's your DH?
Well, if Hanley were here, it would be a different situation.
Yes, it would be. But he's not. Right. And I don't know if he wants to play, apparently, because nobody wants him. But I'm just saying. So Jackie sits. Benintendi's in center. JD's in left. Who's your DH? Swihart? Nunez?
That's what a lot of teams do.
Brock Holt?
Different guy every day. Yeah.
But I'm saying, those three individuals, even though Brock Holt's hitting 300, the offensive difference that any of those three guys are going to give you, even as bad as Jackie is, will not make up for what you lose defensively with Benintendi and J.D. Martinez in the outfield.
I'll give you that.
If you had a 300 hitter, if you had Hanley swinging the bat well, then you could justify it because Hanley is that much better offensively than Jackie. But Brock Holt, I don't think is, even though he's a better hitter. I don't think Nunez is, even though he's a better hitter. And I don't think Swihart is a better hitter right now. I don't know what he is because he's not out there at all. So you don't make up offensively by sitting Jackie what you're going to lose defensively. They don't. It's not a defensive Jackie. It's a defense of the lineup, I guess, of the roster. Like, they don't have other options.
Boy, I just wish he could hit a little bit. He can't hit a little bit right now. I mean, again, he came up, two men on, strikeout. I mean, and they're just bad strikeouts, Lou. All he's doing is he's a fan for the catcher to just give the catcher a little bit of cool relief back there. He's not even close.
Yeah, but again, it really is.
For a major league hitter, it really is amazing to me that he is not better than this. I mean, it is really
it's
pathetic.
The thing. So the yesterday, I don't even know who tweeted it out. Paul, who tweeted this out? Was it Drellick or was it?
It was Evan Drellick.
It was Evan Drellick, you know. And he tweets out this thing. It's this war thing. This war stat. This stupid sabermetric baseball community stat.
Sounds like you're impressed with these stats.
This is the one stat in baseball that I hate because I have absolutely no idea what the hell it means. But all I know is I saw the headline and it says, hey, you know what? Listen, Jackie Bradley, this is the ultimate, isn't really the problem, guys. Your catcher's your problem. No. Your second baseman's your problem. Please. Your third baseman is one of your problems. Right. Your shortstop is one of your problems. If you're going to start listing it in no particular order, Jackie Bradley is like last.
Yeah, I'm going to throw this out.
Because
I don't,
wait,
gonna, wait, I don't so think, what, I don't think that, the shortstop's
what does that
a problem.
Tell you?
Right
what is.
I don't think the shortstop's
well,
a problem.
That, all I know is that Jackie Bradley Jr. is not the problem. So when I see something like that, I retweet it.
You want me to go to war with?
The problem is the fact that he's like a negative war guy.
Yeah, it's not the worst.
With how good he is defensively, that's tough to do.
That is tough to do.
And base paths.
He
so,
can't,
I mean,
can't
what,
hit
he,
a lick,
what he does
that's
on
what
the bases.
You.
So war is if you're a good defender who's fast, you're going to have a pretty good war. I mean, they really tie in defensive metrics and base running on top of stuff. That's why, you know, David Ortiz never had a great war because he doesn't run. He doesn't play defense.
Yeah. What I like to do is add those RBIs with those runs. So that would be 23 total in 15 games.
Well,
you can see it if you look at
Trout
the DH
is a war
list.
Monster because he runs the bases, he plays defense, he hits for power. He's just a monster. So, I mean, the fact that he's a negative player tells you how bad he is offensively.
Which I understand, but still, as far as Evan Drellick goes, Jackie Bradley Jr. isn't the Red Sox problem, folks. It says it with folks.
No,
it's like
no,
it's
no.
Folksy.
He's a problem.
All I know is, like, so basically, I hate war because they bring in too many different stats, and it can be misleading because you can be really strong in one area that completely overshadows the other areas. And
do you know what
look
war
like
is, by the way?
Basically,
I mean, there's a lot of sabermetrics, and there's a lot of numbers and stuff. You know, the whole war stat.
Do you know what war is?
It's you know what it is? It's kind of like I kind of can use it as it's kind of like grading on a curve. Taking all my grades and I'm averaging them out and I'm taking out one of the worst ones. Grading on a curve for baseball players.
That's not what war is.
It's basically what it is.
War is something that Lou Maloney is waging right now with the town of Duxbury.
No.
That is war. Okay?
I'm past that. No, it wins above a replacement player. So you could just take any average player and put him out there and you need to be plus. And if you're not, then you're just a replacement player. You're just an average guy. You could put anyone out there.
So according to this, they're below replacement player at catcher.
Yep.
They're below at second base.
Makes sense.
They're below at third base. Matter of fact, they're the worst in the American League.
Which I don't agree with.
They are below at center field. So I agree. Why is that a positive thing? How can anybody turn that around and say that's a positive thing?
He's not the worst. He's bad, but he's not the worst.
But hold on.
Out of the group.
But hold on. You have a third baseman who's 20.
Hey, all I know is that his position was shaded and he wasn't in last place.
Christian.
That's all I care about.
Third baseman's 21 years old, who we like. Who's got some upside that can hit for some power, who's having some trouble now, still learning the position at third base. That's understandable. The center fielder is supposed to be a fairly experienced veteran now.
Hey,
right?
He ain't the problem, folks.
Up there in age.
He's not the problem, folks.
Supposed to be there.
He's not the problem, though.
No, he's not the problem.
He's not the solution.
He should still be playing better.
See, but the problem last night.
The overall, like, you know, analysis, you're not pointing the finger at Jackie Bradley.
When you look at that stat. Yeah, when you look at that stat, it's not. It's technically not. I get it. The problem, all right, but it's
I'm technically correct
because of the defense he brings you.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you're not going to hit, you got a big defense, and he brings outstanding defense. We know that. So that's why Devers with his 13 errors is where he is. Although I think he's a lot better than that. So I mean, that's why you know catcher, the offense, they got absolutely nothing. That's why there is, and the defense isn't like it's Gold Glove either. So it's he's only where he is in the middle of the pack because of his defense.
If Jackie Bradley Jr.
Which is what we've been saying.
If he goes on a tear right now.
That's what saves him.
And he bats 375 for the next month, that's going to go into the positive category. Okay, that's going to change. A war number is going to change. I'm not sure he's capable of doing that right now.
Given who he is at center field, they should be second.
Yes.
That's what they should be.
With him batting about 245 or 250.
Yeah, they should be. He should be second. He should be like, you know, the number one is Houston at, is it Houston? No, L.A., sorry, obviously. Trout, 4-9. I mean, he should be in that 3-2, 2-5-3 range, given what he does defensively. And he's right now he's negative 0.1, which, whatever.
Okay, the big meeting happened between Popovich and Kawhi Leonard.
Ooh.
What does it all mean for your Boston Celtics? We'll talk about that coming up next. We'll open up the phone lines at 617-779-7937.
Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Glenn, Lou, and Christian on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, some interesting things out of San Antonio. People are starting to write about it now. San Antonio Express News, Jabari Young. It was a very optimistic meeting. Greg Popovich sitting down with Kawhi Leonard, and they went over a lot of stuff. And you kind of get the feeling now that, and Wojnarowski had this, that the Spurs are unlikely to move Leonard to the Lakers because they still pretty much have time on their side. They can do different things. First of all, they hold over him the Supermax extension. So they can pay him more money than anybody else. They can give him 5 years and $219 million.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to trade him in this offseason. They can do it at the trading deadline next year. They could sign him next year with the Supermax and then deal him away. So they have some control of the situation. But I think it's kind of funny, the stuff I'm hearing, that people keep on talking about Kawhi Leonard as a top five player here in Boston now. The reaction you're getting in Boston and people here want him. Top five player, and I would agree. 2 years ago, he was a top five player. He was an MVP candidate. What the hell happened last year? And why are we totally dismissing what happened last year? We're not talking about some bogus, bad organization in the San Antonio Spurs. Is it fair to say that the San Antonio Spurs are as well run as any organization in all of professional
sports? Top to
bottom,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. And they've got a track record, okay, of doing it. They've been straight. They've been honest with their players. This is not a fluky organization. And you tell me, guys, when players, his own teammates, start turning on him, that's when the red flag goes up for me.
Well,
so in early March, he was practicing with the team on 3-on-3s, 4-on-4s. And the players, Tony Parker, Ginobili, I mean, key players, veterans, are sitting there saying, he looks great. He looks terrific. He's ready. And then suddenly, he says, no, I'm not ready. No, I'm not going to come back. No. And then they sit down and have a meeting in March. And apparently they had it out. And people that were outside the locker room said it was vocal, it was loud. Why are we back here in Boston when just because we love the guy 2 years ago that was a top five player and the MVP player, why are we dismissing everything that happened character-wise, injury-wise, everything else over the last year with Kawhi Leonard? Why has that been dismissed right out on the resume? Why are we ignoring that?
I think there is some red flags there, but I will say this, and it's not surprising that the guys that are calling him out are Parker and Ginobili.
Publicly, though, Christian.
I know, but it doesn't
surprise
me.
You tell me, guys, that's unusual. That is unusual you call out your star?
When I think I'm like, okay, so I compare, if I was going to compare like an NBA franchise that seems to be run similar to the way the Patriots run it, the way they keep their leadership, the way they, you know,
yeah, I think
promote
that's fair.
From within,
yeah.
there's a lot of similarities between Pop and Bill and just, you know, no nonsense, whatever. So it's not surprising that two of the old guard guys, two of the guys that have been with Popovich for the longest period of time, he's probably emboldened and leadership, you know, listen, send my message. Parker and Ginobili, they're coming out. They're doing what Popovich would do or can't do. Listen, we're going to shame you. It's going to come from the leadership. Leonard's like, screw it. I'm not your age. I'm younger. It's a different situation. This team is not the same as it used to be. That to me doesn't surprise me. It'd be like, you know, Dante, I mean, like Hightower, or like Devin McCourty, or, you know, Matthew Slater calling somebody out on the Patriots. Like two guys that you know, they preach and they drink the Kool-Aid and all they do is send the message and they're doing Belichick's bidding. Same thing Parker and Ginobili are doing.
Yeah, I think Popovich, if you see some of the stories that are out there, he's a little bit different in that we've already said that Belichick's relationship with Brady is as coach and quarterback. They don't go out and spend a lot of good quality time together. Popovich seems to have a much more chummier friendship type of relationship with those players. And so it seems to be a little bit different how Popovich, I know a lot of people just look at it and say, oh, he yells and Belichick yells, so they must be the same guy.
There's a risk, but it's obviously it's earned.
Yes.
You know, and I think he treats the young players differently, right? But, especially the guy with as much talent as he has and has realized, wow, I can pretty much dictate and I don't have to listen.
But Christian, he's sure.
And I'm going to have it my way.
So you think he's staying in San Antonio?
What's that?
You think he's staying in San Antonio?
I think San Antonio was going to hold on to him for a while, Lou, because I think they know they have control. They know he wants to go to the Lakers. And I just think they're too good an organization, too smart. They're not going to give him away for a cup of coffee. They will hold on to him till the end.
See, I don't think they have to I don't think they have to give him away for a cup of coffee. I mean, they can try to keep him from LA. But I mean, what control do they have over that? I refuse to sign an extension, and I'm leaving in a year.
No, they do. They could send him off to Boston or Philadelphia. I think it's more likely they send him off to Boston or Philadelphia.
For a year. Yes. And if he really wants to go to L.A., they have no control over that. So
that is correct.
They've lost control, right?
They have control for another year.
If they feel like he wants out of San Antonio, they've lost control. He'll play for a year, and he'll go wherever the hell he wants.
Yeah, but
so you can dictate where he goes for a year, but after that,
that's true.
You do.
But you have time on your side to be able to manipulate and get what you need in return. You can hold over his head. For an example, if the Lakers make a move in the offseason here, and they're going to deal with LeBron and Paul George, then the door kind of closes in Los Angeles unless the San Antonio Spurs are willing to play along with it and then get a third team involved. So they have some control
for now
about how they can do some of this stuff. They could sign them, sign and trade deal, and get a third team involved. They have some control, but it sounds to me that what you're reading right now is they're trying to reel him in. I think they think this
problem.
They think maybe that he's just on a lark right now. This is just how he's. He's just thinking of right now, this is what I want to do.
No, my point
is it's really not what he wants to do.
They might be able to control him from going to L.A., but maybe they won't control him from going to Houston. Yeah, Chris Paul right now. And you know, last night there was a report. I forget where it came from, but we were about to talk about, we're doing this crystal ball thing about where LeBron James is going to end up. And going into the segment, like there was like breaking like a little report that Chris Paul came out publicly and said he is going to do everything he can to get LeBron James to Houston.
Yep.
And the minute I heard that, I said, well, he's going to go to Houston. Because, I mean, if that's just the way the league works.
Right.
And, I mean, Chris Paul's a guy who's talking about money, right, who did the whole, like, he opted in so he can get traded, so he could make it work. So we thought maybe he's going to just go for his, get as much money as he can. But if Chris Paul is willing to do anything he can, if that's like his goal right now is to get LeBron in Houston, that is a pretty good chance. See, I think he's going to Houston.
See, when I saw
this. So, I mean, this is they control it. So, let's say they miss out on LeBron. He goes to L.A. Maybe Chris Paul, I do everything in my power to get Kawhi Leonard to Houston. Right. Now, you're San Antonio. He's in your backyard.
So, when I heard that Popovich was going to L.A. to have another meeting with Kawhi Leonard, a sit-down meeting, to have that whole come-to-Jesus moment, this is why this is a good place for you, this is how I can adjust. It's almost like you've lost complete control. You're now going into his territory, begging and pleading for him to come back, or not to come back because he doesn't really have a choice right now, but listen, let's make this good for everybody. How can we all win in this situation? To me, it just reminds me of different situation, though, but because LeBron James was a free agent. Like when Pat Riley tried to convince LeBron James to stay in Miami, that the grass was not always greener on the other side, like Cleveland and all the different teams that were reported to be in the mix for LeBron James. So he went back, and he had a good reason. So what are you going to do if you're Pat Riley? But at that point in time, I was like, uh-uh. These guys, these high-profile, powerful guys, successful guys like Popovich and Riley, when they sit there and you tell them, listen, you got to go talk to him. You kidding me? Imagine Belichick doing that. Hey, listen, the guy doesn't want to play. You got to go convince him. You got to go beg and plead. You want to coach that guy? You want to give him all that power? And I guess that's just the way the league is because the players have all the power.
Well, the Kawhi
you can
Leonard,
be under contract
no question.
And say, I don't want to do it. And they have to go, well, I guess mm-hmm. we have to grovel.
Yeah.
We have to beg and plead for you to kind of just be in a good mood.
See, the Kawhi Leonard thing is fascinating, and maybe Popovich knows him better than people are giving him credit for. But they're doing everything they can to try to reel him back in. And I thought if you go back and read some of the stuff, especially out of the San Antonio Express News and the way this thing has all played out, they had a meeting in March, and it was really vocal, and most of the players thought that Kawhi was ready to come back and simply wasn't going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And they had no understanding why, because he'd show up at practice and he'd be terrific on 3-on-3s, 4-on-4s. They're sitting and going, he's the same Kawhi. He's fine. And then Popovich kind of made some comments when he was asked about it, like on a daily basis. When's he coming back? When's he coming back? And they thought he was going to come back late in March. And then the next thing you know, the players and Popovich are throwing it back to the entourage. They're saying, you'll have to ask his people.
Yeah, so you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah. I think it's a bad thing.
I'm just saying, he's obviously got the voice of his buddies.
People, right.
All right, so
they apparently play into this.
You start ripping the entourage and his friends who he's listening to. That create a good situation?
The dude
wants out.
Yeah, I don't think they're ripping him. I think what they're doing is they, in their mind, think that the Lakers are the place to go, that you've got to be a Laker. Okay, that's what you want to do. So if you're Danny Ainge then, let's fast forward it and let's look at Boston's point of view. Because I started this by saying I don't understand why these people are just willing to wipe out the last year and all of the stuff that a great organization, San Antonio, had gone through with Kawhi. This a player, by the way, that on March the 6th to the media said he wants to be a San Antonio Spur for life. He's doing something that Kyrie apparently is not doing to satisfy some of the people here locally. He did it on March the 6th, and yet right now it sounds to me like all he wants to do is be a Laker for life, not a Spur for life.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're Ainge, you do all of the legwork, but how do you trade away and make a deal and bring a guy in without the guarantee because you're not going to get it? You can't trust him. Even if he says to you, yeah, maybe I'll stay with the Celtics. I kind of like Green. I like all the history and whatever. How can you believe him if he tells you that? How can you bring him in and deal a substantial package away to get Kawhi Leonard with the understanding he wants to be a Laker a year from now?
Well, I don't think you can trust anybody. I mean, like Kyrie Irving's basically doing the same thing. Well, but Kyrie Irving is basically saying, it's different. You're right. They're not extremely the same, but the way he's expressing his desire for a new contract and what his plans are and how he plans on going about it It's pretty matter of fact. And I don't think people like it.
It depends how you interpret this stuff. We're getting back to Price. We're getting back to Brady again. In the undefeated yesterday, Kyrie Irving said he wants to win championships with the Celtics. ESPN First Take is going with it. Okay, boom, see? He wants to stay. Kyrie wants to stay in Boston. I didn't read it that way. I didn't sense it that way. I think he's playing it right in the middle. I think Kyrie's doing what you're supposed to do. Right? Keep the door kind of open a little bit. You're saying nice things about Boston.
Sure.
You like it, but you're keeping the negotiation open. All right, we'll get into more of it coming up next right here on OMF.
You're rocking the midday with OMF. Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
If Boston, for example, ends up in the finals next year, Max Kellerman, and Kyrie is balling out, and he's a league MVP candidate, or at least an all-star yet again because he's dropping 24-5 a game, all right, and he's healthy, Kyrie Irving is going to be the elite free agent on the market next season, unless Kevin Durant decides to show up there. That's the facts. So I'm looking at it from right. that perspective, and I have no problem taking 1 year at a time for him, considering that that's the premise.
Stephen A. talking about Kyrie Irving and Kyrie Irving being the guy next year. It's a year-to-year basis for these guys. You were talking about Chris Paul. So Chris Paul was on the Clippers a year ago and then worked his way out of there with a deal that was only 1 year. So if he gets hurt, he's screwed, right? But it didn't make a difference because he got to Houston, team he wanted to go to, and now apparently he's willing to screw around with numbers and whatever to get his buddy LeBron James there. Aren't they all on, and why should Kyrie Irving sit there? He doesn't know what's going to happen next year with the Celtics.
Yeah.
Why should he sit there and say, okay, we're here, we're the Wolfpack, and we're the Wolfpack for 3 years to come.
We know what that's like.
We knew,
somebody in the Wolf.
Someone's a lone wolf.
You become a lone wolf.
See, this is why I really do believe that there's a lot of heat still on, pressure still on Danny Ainge. Because it's like he's got this one last piece to move, or this one last move to make. He is so close right now of building something that can compete and win championships for the next 5 or 6 years, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, he's close now. Yeah. This is no longer 2 or 3 years ago, right. And let's see how it shakes out.
But you're right, he's not there.
He's not there. You know, so think about it. I mean, if let's say he moves Kyrie Irving, just all the rumors that are out there for Kawhi Leonard. And in a year, Kawhi really wants to go to L.A., and he's sitting there like 2 years from now going, how did I get here? Or if he brings in Kawhi and Kyrie, and something happens and they both leave, how did I get here? Or is he saving them for Anthony Davis in another year or two? Like, he's got one more move to make, I feel like, and he can't screw it up. Like, as great as it's been up to this point, I mean, it's been, you know, tip of the cap. No one's done a better job of building what Danny Ainge has built so far here in Boston. But it's still like this next move is the most important one.
Yeah, I noticed.
Well, I guess for
do you stand pat?
Well, because you're looking for that long-term success, right? That consistently always kind of being, you know, one of the teams that's going to be in that Eastern Conference Finals, you know, and then we'll see what happens in the NBA Finals. But yeah, because securing that guy, it's got to be the final piece because the way if without Kyrie Irving, you're a good team. You're not a great team. You're still not beating the Warriors. And who knows what's going to happen with some of the other pieces on that roster as they get older and how you somehow contain them and keep them on the team. But yeah, I would agree with you.
Yeah, I'm not buying that you can beat the Warriors with Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward back. Now, do you have a better chance? Yeah, and I think a lot of people would like to see it. But I don't think there's any guarantee that you're going to beat that team. That team is going to go down in history as one of, if not the greatest team in NBA history.
So how do you
knock them off?
Kyrie Irving is really playing this perfectly. I mean, he's playing it just right.
I agree. He should be playing it this way.
No, you can't. Listen, he wanted his freedom. He wanted to kind of, you know, branch out on his own and be the leader. And who knows what else? Talk about arts and philosophy and movies. He's doing everything.
But, Christian, why would you unload Kyrie right now? Because you're not totally sure that he's going to be here a year from now, and you're ready to bring in Kawhi Leonard, even though you're not sure he's going to be here after a year.
I think they're different situations, obviously, right, as far as, you know, the contract situation with Leonard and the free agents.
They're similar. They have 1 year left in the contract.
I know, but he's in your building. Kyrie Irving. No, I would feel better about Kyrie.
I would feel better about Kyrie.
Yeah, you should feel better. Yes. I mean, yes, because at that point in time, you will be able to pay him a lot of money.
Yeah, but he
can get everything he wants right here in Boston.
But here's what you can't do, which some people are talking about. You can't unload all of the some of the young talent that you have, the future, and say, I'm going to deal the young talent for Kawhi. Because I'm not sure that Kyrie's going to be here. So what happens if both Kyrie and Kawhi decide they're gone at the end of next year? And you don't have that young talent, that young building team that you thought you were going to have.
That's why I say. Now, he still has the Sacramento pick. He's still got Memphis, right? I guess. But it's...
Who knows whether that isn't...
Can't
much
mess this up now, right? I mean,
yeah,
too close.
He can mess it up.
Too close now to be sitting here 2 years from now going, what happened?
No Leonard. No Kyrie Irving.
Ooh. No Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. And really, no Al
Horford. For
now you're paying Horford just help us out.
But I don't think it gets to that. Because I really do find it hard to believe that, you know, with the team you have here, that Kyrie Irving, you know, is going to just walk away from it. I mean, he's got to, and listen, he is a different individual. So he might walk away from more money than anybody could pay him. And a team that has a chance to win a championship over the course of the next contract he signs, which would be 5 years. So I guess there's an outside chance. But who does that? Like, LeBron's leaving Cleveland because they're done. Paul George is left Indiana because they're done. You know, Durant left Oklahoma City because he wanted to join a super team. Right. Maybe that's it. Maybe there's a super team that Kyrie feels like he can. But he would have one, I feel like, here. Potentially. So I don't see it happening.
Yeah, the one thing I do like about the Kyrie Irving...
But he's got one more play to make here.
Yeah, I do get the feeling with Kyrie Irving that you have a chance of keeping him.
Sure you do.
And some of the stuff he's saying, it really is not like I want to go elsewhere. He doesn't know what this team is necessarily going to look like. A lot of people envision what it could be, but you still don't know what it's going to be, right? And I think he's throwing some of that stuff out there. But the one thing you do have over him is that you can pay him more than anybody else. So if I'm Danny now, you talked about the pressure being on Danny. Every move Danny makes right now, he's got to have a plan B and a plan C. So in other words, you're playing chess here. You've got to be able to figure out, if I can't keep Kyrie, can I at least get something back for him at the end of next year with a sign and trade, be able to give him the max that he wants? I've got to be able to have the flexibility, because maybe you're in a position where Anthony Davis next year is available for you. Then you now have max contract players that you can deal. Mm. He's got to be thinking along those lines. All right, we'll get into more of that. Does anybody really care about the draft coming up on Thursday? Yet I'm hearing now.
You never know.
And even Chris Mannix is throwing it out there. It's a possibility the Celtics might move up to the top of the draft to try to get one of these players in the top six or seven spots.
I'm hearing it's a real possibility they could move to the top three.
I'm not sure I'd buy that NBA insight. I'm not sure
that's
I do.
That's what I'm hearing.
For Luka Doncic. Okay, we get to your phone calls as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.